steps as we welcome into the studio City of Fairhope Public Works Director Richard Johnson. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Appreciate your time. You've got your yellow vest, safety vest on. You've already been working this morning checking on the Arts Alley project, which is right across the street from us here on North Church Street. Give us an overview of what that project is and where we stand.
This is one of those projects that was in the works for a very, very long time, and it feels like construction has been going on a very, very long time, but we are starting to see the most of toughest work is kind of behind us. The structure is up and pretty much completely enveloped in. That will have the bathrooms and the area for folks waiting on public transit, as well as any type of tour transit and things of that nature. It's been a tough project in the sense it's a very confined space. We have to be very sensitive to all of our business stakeholders, and they have been super supportive and have put up with the what feels like in this area forever construction, because Church Street preceded this. So Church Street was nearly a 2-year project, and now Arts Alley has been underway better part of 9 months, but we are making progress. The contractor by contract and schedule is that when we light the trees in the week before Thanksgiving in November, Arts Alley is finished and opened and fully complete. So we're excited about that. It's been a gambit of challenges. We had pretty wet weather back in the spring, and then we had the heat and the dry, which actually helped the project move forward. And we're starting to see the finishing phase is getting ready to start, which is closest to Church Street on the south side, and hopefully that whole system will be back open to traffic probably within a month's time.
The entire time, you've made sure that one side was open for access to the parking garage, which I know was another hindrance, I'm sure. But in addition to what we're seeing visually, underneath was all the drainage and things that tie in to the Church Street project, correct?
That is correct. That was one of the ultimate goals of this project, is we had quite a few drainage challenges. There were a lot of businesses that were getting water directed to them that was sheeting off the parking deck or off the alley. Mm-hmm. So now that's all now contained in an underground system that's tied into the new system that went to church. And that's an infrastructure part of it that people really don't see, but that was a big challenge.
Then we've got the 2-story concrete and then covered in brick building that's going to be the restroom and the Bratz bus terminal. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is the goal is we're trying to we want to make the whole internal alley system very welcoming, to feel safe. It's going to have lighting, string lights, human scaled post lighting. It's going to have art, and it's going to feel very welcoming and very safe. And our goal is that anytime, whether it's a tour group coming to town or Bratz pick up or drop off, including our internal courtesy cart that we run downtown, is that will be the point of origin and departure for everybody that comes. And if you come to visit and you bring your own vehicle, you can park in the parking deck and pick up public transit or our local transit from that point. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we're excited about, this will be the real first series of wayfinding signage. So when you're there, there will be one of those kind of graphical maps that we've all seen at places like Disney World that shows you where you are and where all the points of interest are. Mm-hmm. And then signage directing you which way to go. And the cool thing about the alley is, as you know, it has a direct connection to Section Street, has a direct connection to Church Street, and then there's actually 2 alleys that lead out to Fairhope Avenue. So from that point, you can start going almost every point of the compass to visit a place of interest, a business, a restaurant, whatever, downtown. And that's our whole goal, is to make the parking, public parking known, and make folks feel like it's safe and comfortable to use. Let's admit it, that alley for years and years was a back of house working alley, and it looked like a back of house working alley. We're still going to be a back house working alley, but we want it to have the aesthetic and the feel of a place of interest and a place of safety and a place of that people are going to want to come to and then go from there.
What is the second story? Why a two-story building for the terminal and the bathroom?
Well, I think it was an architectural consideration. It is going to be the nicest, but it really is just a tall building that is really just a single floor. So,
okay.
I think the architect really wanted it to. The whole area is going to make a statement. Things that are not seen yet is at the entrance behind the one that's closest to the old hardware store between there and the little whiskey. That's going to have two Bruce Larson sculptors, mm-hmm. Sculptures that make a gateway feature, and then there will be an additional sculpture placed upon the top corner of the parking deck. So it's going to, when you look, it's going to draw your attention, and again, it's part of making it something more than just a functional alleyway. It's going to be a point of interest for
right.
the city.
And then there's another structure I saw. Right inside of the parking garage, concrete is what I can see. I haven't walked up in there. What is that going to be?
Part of this project is we realize that the alley still has to be a working alley and serve the back of houses of our businesses. But sanitation is a big part of what we do in the city. But let's face it, garbage carts that are just sitting where people are walking and driving are not aesthetically pleasing. So that is one of several what we call cart corrals. And that one is kind of interesting. So the carts will place inside of it, and folks will use it to empty their waste from their businesses. And we'll service the carts contained within those corrals. That one is actually going to be a stuccoed and have a mural on it that says Welcome to Fairhope, mm-hmm. that is being done by a local artist that we just commissioned at the last council meeting. So we're excited about that, and the artwork is spectacular, as well as the elevator tower on the east side of the parking deck will have a large mural on it as well. So we're just excited. It's going to be I think it's going to be really spectacular. It's hard to envision now, but you can go see the hardscape right now, but when the landscape and the artwork and everything is introduced, I think it's really going to be something to be proud of.
Okay, and speaking of landscaping, Gaston Plaza, or the Clock Corner, is just now starting some of its renovations.
That is correct, and it's a multi-prong project. There is what we consider the Plaza project, which is making that a very more functional and gathering place in the central core of downtown. And also, we will be doing a pedestrian and traffic light improvement project alongside this at that intersection to install, to upgrade our signal controls, and we're putting full pedestrian signals at that intersection, because anybody who's either tried to be a pedestrian at the intersection or a driver knows there's always a conflict with the pedestrians, and especially folks trying to turn left at any approach to that intersection. And so when we're through, not only will we have a gathering place and plaza there on the corner, but there will be a safe way to cross that will give you when you to walk and give you the countdown and everything else that we've seen.
Okay, so, that's what I was going to say. So yeah. The pedestrians can't control it and push a button and mess up the light cycle.
Well,
because there's always people and there's always cars.
There will be buttons, but the controller kind of figures out that. And basically, if they push the button and there's no cars queuing, it will advance the cycle to allow the pedestrian to walk.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, when it's heavy traffic, then the controller has to balance that and
okay.
make sure traffic keeps moving.
I see.
And that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's the nice thing about some of this technology is it can be smart, and there's no need to have a green light if there's no cars waiting to go through the intersection, so it can cycle through and allow the pedestrian to walk and if there's no cars. But it is it will have the technology to know that. So
speaking of that, and completely off topic, check that little device at the new turn signal on Twin Beach.
Okay.
Coming Twin Beach, turning left as if you were going to be going north.
Okay.
That one lasts about 30 seconds and lets three cars go.
Yeah, and they have the same problem at 104 and 98 and Triangle Drive, is that left turn signal stays on and maybe let two cars through and that's it.
But we spent $500,000 for the turn lane, so let's at least get that synced.
Right? I agree with you, and I will talk with my friends at ALDOT, and because I know that I mentioned the one at 104 the other
right.
day, that hey, y'all may want to look at that and change that timing because something's going on
so
there.
That is not even the city's control.
No, the whole, just so you know, the 98 corridor is an intelligent traffic signal system. That is, everyone is connected to the next, and they have the master controllers. It's actually under at the tunnel between Mobile and Baldwin County, but that is always a work in progress. So
right. Okay, we're speaking with City of Fairhope Public Works Director Richard Johnson here on WABF. And once again, you want Gaston Alley obviously has to be finished in time for the lighting of the trees, which gives it 2 months.
Correct.
But that's not major overhaul. That's not going underground either.
No, that is. Luckily, this project is all hardscape, and it's all at surface work and above, so it should go very quickly. There's not any heavy drainage or anything like that or any utilities. So that's it. You know, probably the other exciting things that we've got in the works is if anybody's been monitoring the city council, we've been slowly but surely moving forward with the development of what is commonly referred to as the Triangle property on the north end of town. We've gone through scoping with the council on that, and one of the neat features is a pedestrian tunnel that connects the two pieces of property under Veterans Drive, and I worked with engineers yesterday to kind of look at the final plan of that, and we hopefully will be going out to bid on that project by the end of the year, probably January. We're hopefully issuing contracts and starting that work.
What phase one, I remember reading, was there's several phases of the development.
That is correct.
And tell us about what you're bidding on now, phase one.
Phase one is mostly on the larger track, which is to the north, which is basically encapsulated by 98, Veterans Drive, Scenic 98, and Fly Creek. And it will be composed of a parking area for folks who are coming to visit the park, quite a series of trails where folks, there'll be many multi-use, meaning you can bicycle, walk, run, jog, as well as some that are lower impact just for like a nature walk, outdoor classrooms, a remote bathroom for park visitors, and a connection to the southern track, which is the triangle-shaped property that's captured between Triangle Drive and Veterans in 98. And that will be the first phase. It'll have several features, but it will be a real passive part. Future phases will include, we now own the homestead that is there, right there at Fly Creek and just near the bridge. And we are already budgeting and looking at preliminary plans to turn that into an outdoor nature center.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
And then looking at the south property, which already has a lot of interest in the off-road bicycling, to continue to advance that as well. So it'll be a multi-year project, but to get it open where our citizens and visitors can go enjoy that property, we're excited about.
Very good. What else do you have in your notes or happening that we should be updated upon?
Not real exciting, but we are out for our annual road paving right now. I'm sure the citizens who have already seen the contractor doing a little milling and preparing for paving. Today, we've got a neighborhood out off of Booth Road that will get all of its roads restarted and today resurfaced. We're doing work in Quail Creek, Windmill Road. Probably a biggie in the fruit and nut is all of White Avenue from South Mobile all the way back to 2nd Street will be resurfaced. And quite a plethora of others, but that is always, no one ever gets upset when they see the paving contractor show up on their street.
And so, I've seen the grading, and I've seen some work start, but it seems sporadic.
Yeah, they went out with, it's called milling, they went out with their milling crew and got a lot of their milling done in advance, but they're starting paving today, so we're excited about that. Founders Park, the track and field, is moving along, and we're excited about that. And that's going to be a fall opening on that. And that's one of those that doesn't get a lot of attention because you got to go looking for it to go see the work. But if you've been out on Founders, you can see that. And probably the two that I'm excited about. One has been a big inconvenience. The county jointly is building a roundabout at Twin Beach and 13. That's kind of had that corridor shut down, but that project is moving along, and as far as we know, they're going to be a late fall opening on that as well, and so they're on schedule.
So that's a county project, but they obviously have to coordinate with you.
Correct.
As well.
Correct. We share, it's kind of one of those things is that three of the roads going into it belong to the city, and that's Twin Beach on the west side and both sides of County Road 13, and so it's a benefit that is that four-way stop, especially during school zone times, has really backed up and been a problem, so we're excited about that. And then we are having our final design review with ALDOT on the roundabout at the Flower Clock. So
let's back up to the 13 roundabout,
okay,
because a lot of folks are frustrated that they have to detour. Pain for progress, of course.
Yes.
But I hear it all the time. Why does it take so long to build a roundabout, which looks like it should be a more simple project?
That's a valid question, and I think it's always the point is that when we as engineers set up project documents, we ultimately get to pick what the contract time is. And I think the biggest concern is that if you try to compress that time too much, your prices get way, way out of line. Meaning the contractor is going to really up the cost of that construction based upon the time they have it.
Well, that's a good point.
And so that is unfortunately one of those economic decisions that we make is we have this much money. And yes, we probably could get it done 3 months faster, but is that worth $1 million? And that is the equation that you go through. Mm-hmm. Because understand, on all these projects, when a contractor fails to meet the time, there's a punitive damage, and on a project like that, it's like $1,500 a day. So you could start seeing that if they ran a month over the contract time, that could be their profit margin quickly evaporating. So that is the hard part in all that. I know that our goal with the roundabout at next to the Flower Clock at the intersection of North Section and Triangle and Veterans and Scenic 98 is, we are specifying that contract documents. That intersection is going to remain open during construction.
That's what the mayor said. How can you do that?
It's an expense that we went ahead and committed to because there's just no practical detour for that. And the fact that the new roundabout is a little bit offset to the north, so they can do a lot of the work outside of the current roadway.
I see.
And
okay.
Then, and this was done at 64 and 13. That intersection remained open at least three legs of it, 95%, and only closed for like a long weekend to complete that work. So it can be done. There's a cost to it, but we've calculated that cost in up front, and that's been part of it. So
it's a shame that couldn't have been done at 13.
And I'm not going to critique.
Once again, that's a county project,
that's
not
right.
A city project.
And they've, the one thing I've learned is that I've heard from citizens that have been inconvenienced, and there's no doubt it is an inconvenience. But boy, when they open back up, it tends to soothe those
right.
hard feelings. So.
What's the construction begin date and target completion date for the one on at 104 and Section or Veterans Drive?
I would hope that our goal, and whenever we set these goals, they tend to come back to haunt us. We want to be in conjunction with the Triangle Park work, so we're thinking January would be approximate start time, and we're probably looking at a 270-day project, 9 months. So,
but once again, you expect to be able to drive around and through while that's happening.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That will we will think that, you know, there may be a time that one leg is closed, but mm-hmm. three legs will be open.
Okay.
And so it'll handle the majority of traffic through there.
Okay.
And then finally, I just want to give an update on the K-1 Center. That's kind of become a passion project, and we're so excited. So where are we at on the K-1 Center? Well, the good news is we have completely abated all of the asbestos in the building, so it is completely clean. We have gotten the final scope of work done with our architectural and engineering team. We are putting together the first phase of the project, which is going to be some selected demolition of that building. Nothing that folks who are walking by in the front will notice a difference. But
keep that classic historic facade.
Right. We're gonna kind of take it back to about 1945, and that's pre-gymnasium, which is the center wing, and the south wing had a large extension added to it sometimes in the 40s or 50s, and it's in bad shape. It's had a lot of water intrusion, but that's going to keep the front facade and look of the building exactly like it is, and we're going to bring back the windows, that style of windows that were in there, and everything else. And the coolest thing is that the finished building is going to deliver on the main floor over 15,000 square feet. Have about 3,500 of the north wing basement recovered as well. And
so what will all that space be used for? Just this hatch program?
Well, that is one of the key components of this, because they are the entity that have derived the grant funding that we have, and that is to develop a business incubator within the Central Business District. So yes, the finished space that will be derived from this first phase of the project will be for the Hatch program.
And that's just what it sounds like there. It's a nonprofit that helps people build or hatch and begin their own business.
That is correct.
Okay.
And then,
so that's beneficial to the community.
And alongside with the Hatch part of it, we've gone through a campus master planning, because we not only will have Hatch on the campus, we already have FEEF there, and you've seen all that they have done with what they call the Nest, and it is an impressive outdoor classroom environment they built there. And then
that's been there for many years, even when my kids were little. But they've
Pelicans, and then they've added a whole bunch of other elements.
Oh,
they've
good.
Built an outdoor pavilion and bathrooms, and then they will the remote classrooms. They're getting ready to remodel those as well. And you know, the biggest thing is again, this is just in the planning stages, but then on the backside of the campus, a performing arts center and additional parking that would support not only performing arts and everything else.
I've heard talk of a parking garage.
I think that will ultimately be there. I think it may start first its life as surface parking, and then ultimately a parking garage, because as you know, parking is what we need downtown.
Mm-hmm.
and we don't see any less demand for folks wanting to come downtown, so we know that's going to be a ultimate consideration. So I'm just excited that probably by the start of the new year, folks are actually going to see improvements to the K-1 Center going on, and that's exciting to start seeing that
mm-hmm.
building
it
come
is.
Back to life.
Now, as Public Works Director, I used to think that Public Works just encompassed everything, water, electric, but no, you're a separate department. So
that
define what Public Works does.
Well, Public Works takes care of all your streets, and that's everything that goes on in the public rights of way. That's the maintaining of the roads, the signs, the striping, the drainage, everything that goes on. We also are the horticulture department, the flowers, the trees, the grass mowing, things of that nature. We're also your sanitation department. That is your garbage, your roadside trash and debris, and your recycling. We're also your mechanical maintenance department. We take care of everybody's vehicles, from the police and the fire to electric and water, sewer, and gas.
I don't think I realized that.
Hold on. And then we're also your fire maintenance department, meaning we take care of all the firehouses and keep them ready to go for our volunteers to respond to calls. And we take care of all the facilities in the city, and that's just everything from changing light bulbs to air conditioning filters to painting walls to mm-hmm. fixing things in buildings and things of that nature. Now, we're housed in the same complex with our water and sewer and gas and electric, and we all work together. Even though there's a separation of responsibilities, there's really no separation of support. You know, when water has to do a water line repair and they have to take up a sidewalk, Public Works is going to come in and put that sidewalk back. Mm-hmm. And so we work very closely together, and we've got a great team, and it is just a little overwhelming if every superintendent and director came in and told you every project that was going on in the city. It almost becomes like, how are you doing all this? And just reading down my list, I sometimes like, I don't know how we're doing all this.
Right.
We're slowly but surely making those improvements and delivering those amenities and infrastructure for our citizens.
It's just like when I asked you off air, I said, well, do you actually have, the water department is not under Public Works, but you're still kind of up to date on what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, here's the reality. Everything that we do in Public Works ultimately will intersect with electrical, a water, a sewer, or a gas line. And everything that gas, water, sewer, and electrical does will intersect with the Public Works infrastructure. So we constantly work together. I mean, you know, the project across the street and turned out and involved brand new water line running up the alley, brand new sewer, mm-hmm. brand new gas and services, and electric took an opportunity to put some electricity underground and remove some unsightly overhead. So we're very in tune to each other, and then of course the other X factor is every time there's a proposed development that intersects with Public Works and all the public utilities. So we're together talking about how that development's going to impact our system, how our system can support that development or can't support that development. And so I am not over any of the utilities. You know, I probably spend time with every one of them every day.
Right.
And same with them with Public Works.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Richard
Thank you.
Johnson, we appreciate your time. City of Fairhope Public Works Director. Very interesting.